This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I think the beauty about the AL, and maybe this Guardians team to this point, is I understand the want to say they're a wild card team, they're a 500 team, they're a sub 500 team, they're a contender. The beauty of this, where this thing is I don't think you have to make that. I don't have to make that consideration yet.
Well, I also don't think this is anywhere close to the final product. Like you mentioned Sunday and how you're upset with the lineup that was trotted out there. And in many ways, you got a right to be upset with that. But it's a traditional Sunday, let's rest some guys lineup. The problem with that is what that exposes is that we don't have much depth on this team at all. Like if you're resting Kwan, if you're resting some of the other guys, all of a sudden it doesn't look as good. But I think Kafis is going to get up here very shortly. I think DeLauder's not too far behind him. And all of a sudden, you bring Bieber in the mix, and like this team is just going to slowly but surely start to look a little bit different. David Fry's coming up shortly. Like all sorts of guys are coming back, and I just think this team is going to look very different, let's say a couple weeks from now, even a month from now, than what it does right now.
If we think back to I'm trying to think, like I know 2022 was this way where Oscar Gonzalez came up this time of year. I'm trying to think of the other guys. If you look at the opening day of that, Bobby Bradley was at first base that night
night and day, the difference in the opening day roster.
I mean, even Kwan, I think that was his rookie year. So we didn't have high expectations for Steven, and look what he's become. So I agree with you. Like, and by the way, even then, this thing's just going to continue to evolve. And like I think if you want to say, well, the team doesn't have an identity, that's okay. I still think it's there. It just hasn't showcased itself. And that's not something I'm worrying about 50 games into the season.
No, I just think the room for them to get better it exists. And anyways, if you take the stats in the totality, you can see why there'd be a lot of things that would maybe be a little disconcerting, right? 23rd in slugging percentage, 25th in on-base percentage, 25th in batting average. And then you go to the starter stats, and it's not that much better. But this team's got a lot of room to get better, and as of right now, they're still the fourth best record in baseball. American League, excuse me.
So to what you're saying, we're at the point where you just have to win, right?
Yeah.
Just whatever, win as many series as you can, just keep stacking it together. And the idea is the more you play together, the more you work on things, especially if you've got talent. When in that starting lineup or in that starting rotation, they have talent.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee, Luis Ortiz, and Ciccone. Those are four legitimate guys who can do it. And even Logan Allen's a legitimate guy. I think he's just a back end of the rotation guy. I think that's just who he is at this point.
Yeah.
You've got five legitimate starters right now, and you already lost one of your guys.
And again, so you're getting more people back, too. You're going to get Bieber. You'll have Means. You're getting guys that are coming.
And I just think, if you just want to look at that, I think there's a little bit of protecting our own feelings and expectations. If coming off this weekend, you want to say, I just don't see a playoff team. Because I guess playoff team is, one, it's specific to each year. Like, maybe 3 years ago, yeah, this isn't a playoff team in that American League. It's a pretty mid-American League right now. Don't the Guardians have like the third best record in baseball right now or something close to it?
I think I said the fourth.
In the AL. Yeah. That's right where you need to be. And so to get back to that point, I feel like if you're going, I just don't see the playoffs. Okay. But why put that label there now?
No, the playoffs are definitely on the table. And what tells you that this is a playoff team is stretches like the one they're going through right now. You start in that series against Minnesota, and yes, it was shortened because of the rain delays and everything else attached to it, but you split the Minnesota series, you take 3 out of 4 against Detroit. We'll see what happens here in the rest of the series against the Dodgers, but this is a murderer's row part of the schedule. I got it. A lot of people are upset with the Guardians in the first 30 games because they did have the easiest schedule in all of baseball. They were winning games, but they were playing, it was a cupcake schedule. This is the meat of it. This is the hard stuff, and they're not only showcasing that they can win these games, they're hanging tough with some of the best teams in baseball.
Well, and it's one of those things where it's always weird to me when you get to a part of the schedule and people go, oh, well, you haven't played anybody. Who cares? Have you won? Have you taken care? Because here's the point. If it probably is best in baseball if you start with a lighter schedule, because it takes a while to work things out.
And they did. It was a lighter schedule to begin
with.
But
I think we're now, to me, where I think a lot of people go after Memorial Day, I want to define what this team is. There's 20 teams in baseball right now. I don't think you can define what they are. And I want to say, I think Fangraphs put 11 of the 15 teams in the AL.
Higher than a 20% playoff projection?
Yeah. And I would it's going to be creative.
What that tells you is that they have no idea either. Their projections are all over the place because the American League is really hard to figure out who exactly is that top tier and who isn't. We'll probably end up with somewhere in the middle. And there's going to be some teams that make the playoffs that a lot of years wouldn't make the playoffs, and that's okay.
Well, I heard somebody, I think they're calling in Baskin and Phelps, talking about the differential, and it's they're minus 16. They're not. You look around. I mean, the White Sox are minus 51.
Yeah.
You look around. Even Kansas City's minus 1. Texas minus 12.
Are we having some hot diff conversations?
I think the Cavs have ruined the diff conversation for everybody else because it's it's 53 games of baseball. If we're talking diff, 53, the Pythagorean theorem. I'm okay, that's something we look at. In my opinion, you look at that in July. Right.
Baseball people love it. They do. They love the diff. Not as much as basketball people, apparently, but that's on a game-by-game basis for basketball people.
Or the Cavs organization.
Yeah. Well, clearly. So I do think there are little things that you can read into within that, but it's not the everything. That's the point. And none of that is the everything. And we've seen, how many games have we seen the Guardians have 11-1 games or 10-1 games or something like that this year? It throws that all out of whack.
It's funny. I think we've forgotten this. This is a typical Tito kind of year, where they just keep their head above water until some point in June. And now you can say the opposite of this as well, so I shouldn't just be presenting one side of this. I mean, we're one bad week away from them being the fourth seed in this division and being on the outside looking in the wild card, and you're one more great week from being the top of this division and having one of the two best records in the American League.
I mean, think about it. That 5-game losing streak that they went on, that had the end of the Milwaukee series into the Reds sweep and then the start of the Twins series, that could have been a real downward slope for them. Especially entering the teams that they're playing right now, and they've been playing over the past week and change, and they rallied behind that. There was some perseverance attached to this team.
I think this start and people's reaction to it proves that the best thing that can happen to rally the troops is to have success early, no matter what happens late.
Right. People then buy in.
And by the way, the Guardians have had success.
But then it forces them to actually use their reinforcements, too, though, is the other part of this. Because now they're thinking about it like, yes, let's bring Kephas up. Let's bring DeLauder up. Let's do some of these moves. Let's get in the mix in a little bit. And I'm not saying they need to trade for anybody or like that, because I think trades are going to be hard this year.
Yeah.
Because every team thinks that they're in it this year in the American League. It's going to be really hard to get trades. But they're going to call up some of these other guys in the minors. And like, that's a good thing.
Well, and like even that, like you know, you traded for Lane last year. Now last year was a lightning bolt. You were like a 700 team when you traded for Lane Thomas. If you're in the playoff mix, there should be no reason that we don't expect them to at least be active. But I agree with you, like it's one thing to just say, well, they just have to play better, right? Well, okay, that can still happen. I think the rotation is right there. I think they had one of the best rotations in baseball in the month of May. I know Gavin had that tater to Ohtani yesterday.
Bullpen's all the way back right now, by the way.
Bullpen's all the way back. Class A's back. But here's the thing. Now, granted, I think your lineup is a step back from where it was last year.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. The offense isn't as good.
However,
but again, you're getting reinforcements coming.
Well, so you have reinforcements coming, and your rotation is 10 times healthier than it was last year. And that's huge. So if you can match a top five bullpen with a top 10 rotation in baseball or something close to it, that's going to make up a lot of headway for that offense. And, oh, by the way, like Manzardo's hit for power. I know Gabe Arias now officially has the worst OPS of qualifying players for the Guardians. He's hit for power. He's just going through a little rough stretch right now. You're getting power out of Naylor. So there are signs that even the guys that are maybe not playing the best, outside of Noel and Nolan Jones, who just both look lost, even the guys who are kind of on the periphery of your lineup who aren't doing as good as maybe Hosey and Kwan and some of your better players, they're still doing, they're giving you signs of hope as well.
Yeah, no, listen, the way this is all set up, like I was pretty convinced this year was going to be a year that we just kind of coasted through this season to get us to next year when you brought everybody up and then you really were able to put the lineup the way you wanted it to be. That's kind of what it was signaling to me, and they don't have to do that now. You can make a legitimate run for the postseason. You're in that type of spot that you can make a run for the postseason, and then once you get in the postseason, you're in.
216-474-0092. We are about 50-some games into the season. We're past Memorial Day, so we'll do the first check-in here. I think they're trending towards a playoff team. I think,
for sure.
I really think, like, this team, I still think this team has the best baseball to play ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this makes it different from last year, which has some of the analysis coming out of the woodwork that we're getting right now. I'm pretty confident they're going to be competitive, and I think they're going to be in the playoff conversation the rest of the season.
Well, I think it will flip what happened last year up on its head, right? Last year, you start hot out of the gate, and then you just kind of treaded water for the final couple months.
Yep.
But then when the postseason actually got underway, they somehow kicked it into overdrive. This year has a completely different vibe to it. It's like you're just hovering above 500, few games above 500. And I really think once you get some of these other guys up here, that's going to go ahead and kickstart it.
216-474-0092. Are the Guardians a playoff team? Do you think they fall below that or above that?
Do you have a fly there? What happened?
No, Max using sign language to communicate to me, and he just threw numbers to me. And
I was chasing, like, a fly for a second in the,
like,
studio.
I was like, I don't know what this means, buddy.
I was like, Mr. Miyagi, did you catch it? What happened?
You don't understand. We're not hive mind. It's a Monday of a Tuesday. All right.
It is a Monday of a Tuesday. Yeah.
If you'd done the same thing Thursday, I'd been like, of course, Max.
Did you do the same thing yesterday that I did? I just kept referring yesterday to Sunday the entire time. And then it threw off everything. So we did things on Saturday, and I was like, oh, yeah, like we did yesterday. And it's like, that was 2 days ago.
Oh, my. The three-day weekend felt like it was like a light year. Like, I don't know what happened in it. I forgot. I did so much this weekend, I've forgotten about things I did this weekend.
That's a lot of things. Why were we so busy this weekend?
I don't know, but it was
awesome. Because I was, too. I did the same.
Awesome.
I did, like, and I know all I ever want to do in life is just sit down on the couch and watch TV. That's all I ever really want to do in life, and I just kept doing things.
Oh, see, that's all I do. But then when I get a bunch of projects,
yeah.
I'm the happiest man on the planet. So we do have more people guessing about the picture on 92.3 The Fan of the shoe with the tape on it. Mike saying definitely one of the afternoon guys. I don't know why you get lumped in. You're not a hole in a shoe guy.
I'm not, definitely not a hole in the shoe guy.
You actually take pride in your personal appearance.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's not Mike. Come on. We're not the same guy. I know we're silly. We like to joke around. Jonathan has some self-respect. Now, then he did go on to say, I'd have to guess Nick Wilson, as he put his family's needs slash shoes ahead of his own.
Well, that's a nice way to put that.
That's a really good spin. It's not it's not that I'm lazy,
that's a nice way to do
cheap,
that.
Forgetful.
Although that does imply that you can only afford like one or two sets of shoes for your family.
We work in radio.
I know. That's the implication there I don't like.
Yeah, I don't hate it. You know, sets the bar low. But I'm just stuttering here. Coach saying, sometimes duct tape and determination are all you need to get through practice. Been there coaching high school ball. So it's saying he's a sign of character, whoever wore these shoes.
Yeah, because it's like, that's it. He just needed to get through practice as if that's, no, he left the house with those taped.
Also, Roberto Shenanigans saying, George Kokinas. Oh, I can make a response, but I wouldn't do that. Brad saying, I could see Daryl doing this. Right? Daryl's taking a lot of shots,
Daryl's
too.
Daryl's getting a lot of mentions. Daryl doesn't even come into the studio during these days.
I mean,
Daryl gets a lot of mentions.
I think the front runners, if we just talk about hosts, would be me, Baskin, and Phelps. But then if you go, like, Mitch is a little kooky. This could be Mitch. This could definitely be a Mac thing, even though Mac is very, very vain.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, Mac prides himself as a shoe guy now.
Yeah. Oh, God. When did you pick that one up?
He is. He's a shoe guy.
When did you pick that one up?
I think it was like a month ago.
No, a couple years ago.
I think we heard the truth there. 216-474-0092. Whose shoe has the tape on it? Is it me? Is it Daryl, really taking a couple shots there. Quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Lane Thomas dealing with plantar fasciitis. Stephen Kwan, wrist inflammation. And Al was asked about the Guardians' options if Lane Thomas lands on the IL.
You've got to obviously give a look at Chase DeLauder. I think they would still like to see him, you know, have at least a couple, 3 weeks, you know, where he's healthy. That's the only reason he's not playing in the majors right now is his health. He's already there hitter-wise. He's already proven everything there is to prove in the minors. He's not really learning anything in the minors anymore, but you've got to stay healthy. And that is the one thing that poor Chase hasn't been able to do. So hopefully he's got a couple of weeks, stays healthy. You know, he could get the call. CJ Kapus has been absolutely raking at AAA. 23 years old. Do you bring up a guy like that? That's a great question. Primarily a first baseman, but could play the outfield. And then you take a look at Jonathan Rodriguez, who was on the team to start the year. He's had a very good season in AAA, too. So I think those are your three options.
With love and respect.
We're going to take Jonathan Rodriguez out of the equation.
I think we have. Yeah. I mean, okay. I think he's a 4A player. And so there is a time and a place for it. When the offense is struggling, that's probably not the time and place for Jonathan Rodriguez to, quote-unquote, boost the lineup.
Agreed.
I just think, like, I understand the point of, well, I want to try and get him healthy for a couple weeks in a row. Just let Chase DeLauder play. Like, it's almost a shame that you have David Fry coming back, that you've got Manzardo. Kapus might have some positional value, but John Kensey's another guy that's like, you're putting him right field because you need a spot to find it. Like, it's almost a shame you can't just bring up DeLauder and just let him DH.
So I was convinced that it was going to be this week. I thought for a little stretch here now, once he got back to being healthy and was playing, I was like, this is going to be the week. And I told you before, I thought it was going to be John Kenzie Noel going down. I wonder if, because think about it, if you bring up DeLauder, that does signal the end, and we're close to the end anyway, but Nolan Jones having that three-hit game the other day, I don't think that impacts anything, but it is the end for Nolan Jones in many ways if you go ahead and make this move, and I just don't think the Guardians should be as scared to go ahead and do that.
I don't see it that way because I think Nolan becomes like a super utility guy. I do think it's going to be really hard for John Kensey to get back in the mix.
Well, again, John Kensey's the one that goes down in this equation, and then DeLauder comes up, and then Nolan Jones is still on the roster because you can't put him down because you'd lose him, essentially. So he'd still be there, but he's not getting everyday at-bats then. And then you're basically giving up on the idea that he can be an everyday player for you.
I think you just buy time for Nolan. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, with John Kensey looks wildly lost at the at-bats. Like, I think you're hurting John Kensey having him up right now. Nolan doesn't look lost. He's hitting.
He just had a really good game the other day.
But, I mean, so I know you get mocked if you ever say anything like exit velo on it. He's hitting the ball hard. He just happens to be hitting the ball at defenders.
I know.
That's something that does course correct over time. I don't know it's going to lead to what he was 2 years ago in Colorado. But I think for me, like, I think it's let's get you right. Just keep playing. We're going to find you spots at first base, right field, center field, left field. And we're going to pick your battles. And then if you get hot, that'll open up a bigger role.
But I think that's kind of where they're at right now, is they're hanging on to the idea that Nolan Jones, they want to continue getting them every day at bats. And if you want to do that, then you don't really have much of a spot for DeLauder, unless you do want to just have him be the, and I wouldn't want this for DeLauder, have him be the, hey, Santana needs a day off here at first base, so you're going to play there. Now you get to DH a day, and then you go out there in right field, and you just kind of constantly rotate through, which we've seen them do with other players before.
I mean, the Guardians, in a weird way, suddenly have a numbers problem, because Angel has been great in center field. So, hypothetically, the replacement for John Kensey in a platoon is Lane Thomas when he comes back.
Yeah.
The problem is DeLauder, lefty. Kapus, lefty. Nolan Jones, lefty. So, even if you keep Nolan on the roster, and this is where I actually kind of am, where with the Guardians here, I think you should give that kid every chance. Because he's got pop in the bat and because he has defensive versatility, I think you've got to keep him on the roster and just hope one of these days he catches.
And my read on it is that's the bet that they're making right now.
But as I'm talking just as the 25th, 26th guy on the roster. But again, the problem is your best hope to jumpstart the lineup are all left-handed in terms of who can play in right field.
Yeah, it's a sticky situation because it's not as if anybody's blowing your socks off and you're like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, yeah, and this guy has to be getting bats. But at the same time, there's a logjam. There's a weird logjam attached to all this.
And here's the thing. I think the number one thing you can't do going forward, I need to see for the next 20 games, just let Angel Martinez play center field.
He's going
to
get that chance. He's earned it.
We can't do the, it's the fifth day of the week, put him at second. At some point, he has passed every test that you've given him. He just excelled in a big moment out of the two hole. At some point, just let the damn kid play. Because they've given every opportunity to guys who don't produce in small sample sizes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little stymied on the Angel Martinez usage. And again, he's very raw. But the only way he's going to shake that rust off is if you let him play and you let him lock into a defensive position.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, between the guys that we've mentioned, whether that is DeLauder, whether that is Kafis, I'm just curious to find out how deep into the season they actually take this. And if they feel like they don't have to force it in any sort of way, like there's a part of me in the back of my brain, I don't think they're going to make any moves or anything like that at the deadline. That's not what I'm going down. I'm going down the idea that if they're playing for next year and beyond, I wonder if they just think, if they can almost hide behind the idea that it's like, well, we wanted to see what Nolan Jones could do, and we wanted to see what player X, Y, and Z could do, and if they end up just keeping these guys down longer than maybe they should.
I think the problem is, DeLauder's not hit well, small sample size, but he's not hit well since coming off the IL. At least with Kafis, he knocked the cover off the ball in double A, and he's knocked the cover off the ball in triple A.
I know, but the problem that if you wanted to point to something with Kafis would be like his BABIP is just so ridiculous that it's going to regress at some point. I think it's like a 455. He's had incredible luck with some of the batted balls.
So this is where we kind of circle back to. I'm not saying it's not time for reinforcements, but I think there's this idea of, all right, clean sweep. This guy's gone, this guy's gone, this guy's gone. I think the Guardians are trying to be measured. It took them 25 games, 30 games to move Rokiu out and bring Will Wilson up. All right, now your shortstop's hitting, your second baseman are hitting, cool. They've been slow to give center field to Angel. All right, do you feel he's solidified? I think the Guardians are trying to do this in a patient way so you don't have what you've had in most recent years where it's like three guys breaking into the lineup at the exact same time.
Well, and what you need to be able to give somebody, whoever that is, consistent at-bats and consistent opportunities. I thought the winning would force their hand on this and they would, if anything, be of urgency to go ahead and get people up there and make sure they had the best possible lineup they could. But what's happened instead is they found this little weird middle ground where I don't think it's really, again, this could all change because these things change on a dime, but it may not force their hand the way that I once thought it would.
Well, but what's wild about it to me is I know Oscar Gonzalez happened. I know John Kensie happened. If you're looking for reinforcements from the minor leagues to save your, unless it's Bazana whenever he comes up, unless it's an Adley Rutschman or a Bobby Witt.
I don't think it's saving necessarily. I wouldn't say that. I think it's more the idea that you're just plugging in again, there's not many gaps. It's a weird thing about an offense that really has not, on a league-wide level, performed that great in any sort of metric, is that you look at it, it's like, well, they got a problem with the two-hole, and they have a problem in right field.
Mm-hmm.
The way that this offensive output is, you would think that they have, six different holes in this lineup, and they just don't.
Well, and I think, listen, I understand that they're continuously trying to plug gaps here, and they're trying to figure this out in real time. But I think this goes back to, it's okay to have guys hit in the same spot. It's okay to have guys field at the same spot. I mean, I think a big reason why the defense stinks is, well, Gabe Barris is your second baseman. Well, now he's your third baseman. Now Schneeman's your second baseman. Oh, but wait, he's in center field. And I understand that on a day-to-day basis, you're just trying to find nine guys to field a competitive winning team. But, okay, it's easier to build that lineup if now you lock if you lock Angel in center field, and if you lock Schneeman at second, and if you lock Arias at short.
It's just not how the Guardians have done this, it's weird.
But I think that's where we are right now. I think as important to reinforcements is, I think it's time to just be like, hey, let's let people know. And I think it's specifically in the field. I have always felt like when you're trying to rig a lineup defensively seven different ways, and I know teams can do this, but I think it's really, really hard for young players, right?
Well, I think the difference in years past was that they at least had the guys cemented there. The guys that were winning gold gloves, Jimenez was always at second, J-Ram was always at third, Kwan was always in left. Like, they had the guys cemented there.
No, that's fair, but I think my point is, even then, all right, there's three or four other positions that are being piecemealed.
Yeah.
I just, like, listen, I'm not trying to poo-poo in reinforcements. Now's the time, right? Like, Memorial Day is a very popular day. After Memorial Day, that's a good time to shuffle the lineup. When I say shuffle the lineup, I mean shuffle like a spot or two that isn't working. John Kensey makes so much damn sense. If you can keep Lane Thomas from going on the IL, because then you don't have a right-hander to put out there in a platoon. But, like, I think the Guardians have, and I think you're kind of saying very similar stuff with they really only have, like, a hole in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think the Guardians have the guys that are ready. Like, I know who's the former Reds GM and Nats GM?
Duquette?
Jim Bowden.
Jim Bowden, thank you. You know, when I was out two Wednesdays ago, he's like, yeah, they don't have any talent. It's like, you're talking out your ass. If you look at this lineup.
Yeah, Bowden did a weird thing where he was talking about, like, you're the fourth place team in the AL Central, and that's what your record is and what your record says. I thought he was a great guest, by the way.
No, he's great because he has opinions, and we appreciate Jim. Great. But it's like Arias, former top 10, top 100 prospect. Rocchio, former top 100 prospect. John Kensey isn't, but looking to Nolan Jones, former top 100 prospect. Angel, former top 100 prospect. Manzardo, former top 1. So they have talent. This idea that they don't, if you watch these guys bat, you can tell they can bat. Like, this isn't like with John Kensey. He the quality of at-bats from John Kensey. I'm not trying to bag on Big Christmas. I love him, and I wish we could tap into that power and just a little bit more patience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still hopeful you can find something with him. But, like, okay, John Kensey just has consistently horrible at-bats. There's no redeeming quality there. Jones, Naylor, certainly Schneeman, like, they're all giving you quality at bats. They are making opposing pitchers work, and there is a weird ebb and flow of sometimes they're too patient and sometimes they're too aggressive. Yeah, that's called young players. So I do think it's, you know, this isn't when Bobby Bradley, who Bobby was kind of the original John Kensey, right? And actually even more of an issue than John Kensey. I'm trying to think of the other guys in that lineup. There were three or four guys that were never will-bes in that lineup. One of whom, by the way, is Kwan, who turned out to be a fantastic player.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a part of me that's like, I know people hate this because we feel like the Guardians are too patient. I feel like if you're patient enough with this lineup, and maybe you help these guys lock into defensive positions, I think you could see the lineup go on a nice little surge here. I don't think they'll ever be top 10 as constructed, but do I think they could be top half the league? Absolutely.
It'll be interesting to see what the Guardians end up doing here. I am in the bring the guys up, and let's see what you have with Kafis. Let's see what you have with DeLauder, and let's get these guys playing. But they bought themselves a little bit of room because they have the five-game, over 500 stretch that they've been on. Like, you get to explore a little bit, and you get to have a little bit of room to maybe make some mistakes and find out whether or not Nolan Jones can be your right fielder.
216-474-0092. Is it time for reinforcements from the Guardians? I think the Guardians have to somehow walk the line that they've been trying to walk here recently, which is patience with dudes who clearly are big league hitters who just haven't found their rhythm yet. And I know that's frustrating because they got a couple of them. And making sure you get the right reinforcement up there. And I don't know what the right balance is, which is very rare that I feel like, is it Kafis? Is it DeLauder? Is it giving Nolan Jones more at-bats? But if we just put it on reinforcements, I think you're going to screw this up. But I think if you also are selectively patient and let guys lock into spots, I think the Guardians offense will come around here. In case we missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Audio courtesy of Guards TV. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. You had an interesting experience reading social media from a one Andrew Zellman here. You want to share that with everybody to start things off?
Yeah, he was talking yesterday. These tweets pop up on my feed from time to time.
Are they still the publishers of Scene?
Used to be.
Okay.
Former.
Okay.
Did get sold.
That didn't sound nice. I like Andrew Zellman. Sorry, go right on ahead. Well, that sounded mean-spirited.
Maybe they sold it for a lot of money.
We'll see here. The way that sounded.
The comings and goings of publishers here in town.
I'm not frustrated with him. I'm frustrated with myself because there's no way I can talk about them and justify this series. I can't even justify it. There's no way I can do this without making it a big excuse. And it falls back into the conversation that you and I hate. It just turns out, this is the problem with baseball, 216. And you and I are bored by that conversation. We have been bored for several years.
We try not to.
To the point where we go out of our way to try to not to have that conversation. And then stop the conversation once it starts into that.
Yeah, well, he wrote...
Because it's a downer. It's
he
depressing.
Wrote yesterday, Guardians play decent against AL Central teams, and you think they have a chance, but when they play the Dodgers, Padres, or Yankees, you realize how far away they actually are. I just feel like basically every team in the bigs, you could tweet that about, right? I mean, just in terms of talent, personnel, you look pound for pound. I mean, mention in the open, Max Muncy used to be really good, didn't he? And Matt Underwood's like, man, he's even getting involved. Like, yeah, they have a lot of guys. They have a ton of guys that are very, very good or who have been good at one stage of their career. They have an insane payroll.
Yeah, and say for their third baseman, we would take anybody on the
yeah,
team, right?
For sure.
Bring
for
him
sure.
In.
So at no point am I watching the Dodgers games and Max Muncy, two-time All-Star, two-time world champion. And he's their bad player. He's one of their bad ones.
Like, that's...
And we would throw a parade in the street.
And so you sit there and, like, if he says, like, this shows you how far away the Guardians are... Like, I'm sorry, like, I'm like, what are we far away from? Affording a player like Mookie Betts? Affording a player like Shohei Ohtani? Like, we'll never do that. Like, I got frustrated on the way home last night, And I'm listening to Jake after the game, and they're saying in the updates, I think, oh, gosh, the new kid, what's his last name? His first name's Michael. He's from another state.
Motorcycle.
Motorcycle,
Michael. Motorcycle, Jaromir Jagr. Rest in peace, Mike Lang. I'm listening to it. It's like, Jose Ramirez, he's got a 20-game hit streak. And I go, boy, we are really, you know what, in a way, the guardian of our generation, who will never, and I'm telling you right now, you know what this starts with? This is why, I know I got friends over there that work there, and it would not be fun, but this is why, for the good of the game, there needs to be a work stoppage. Because you can't do this. Because I'm telling you right now, Jose Ramirez will turn into a cautionary tale. He probably already is to some of these agents. He will turn into a cautionary tale for the rest of the league. Player of the generation. He is our Hall of Famer. He will go into the Hall of Fame. I believe Jose Ramirez is a Hall of Famer, and he will go in as a guardian, because they still do that in the Baseball Hall of Fame, in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame, right? Right. National Baseball Hall of Fame. Beg your pardon. He'll go in as a guardian, and we'll always love him because he took this huge discount. What do they do with all the rest of the money? What do they do with it? See, we're doing the same thing we always do. It's the same conversation all over again. And so his career ends, and we're all like, eh, you know, he's not having the same type of season he's had. Like, I heard Nick yesterday, Jose's kind of having a mid-season. Still has a 20-game hitting streak. 20 games is nothing to fart at. 20 games in professional baseball is still a big deal to me. And I know that he goes up there, no offense to Nick, I know that he's pressing a little bit because some of the other ones, he still has a 20-game hit streak. So if Jose has a 20-game hit streak, I'm just sitting there going, he's 31 now is how old Jose is? So now we're going to you-know-what away what we have with the player of our generation. I'm glad he likes being here. I'm glad he likes it here, and we'll always give him the utmost respect as fans, as media, and because he deserves all of it. He's a good guy off the field. He's obviously a leader. He's obviously the great player that we have. I think that he is one of the most recognizable in this city, responsible, respected, all the words that you can say. And it just feels like, okay, great. And we're going to put Jose Ramirez up there, and we're going to put Nolan Jones in the two hole every now and then. That's what we're going to do. Thanks for staying. Thanks for taking this massive discount. Here's your Nolan Jones that Jonathan makes an argument about exit velo. That's where we're at. So that's, in the grand scheme of things, I know I'm just venting, but this is part of the problem of what you have, because I can't even look at the Dodgers and go, we're so far away. This isn't like the NFL where you go, hey, you know, we got some good young players here in whatever city we're at, but you saw when you played Kansas City, you saw when you played Philadelphia, you know, just how many drafts you are away. Just how far you are away. It isn't like college football. Hey, we just started a program. We got a couple of good young players here, but we're still a little bit of ways as we're seeing. This is the litmus test of where we want to be if we're able to do. I will never. Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, Max Muncy. Who do I afford? Who does my team get?
That's what I'm saying. You bring up the Jose Ramirez part of this, and whether or not he'd be upset, or certainly his agent would probably be, because he wasn't happy he took that kind of home team discount to begin with.
Yeah.
And you talk about what they haven't put around him. But even if
they can't. But I don't know
even
if they can.
If they increased their payroll, doubled their payroll, they'd still be 150 south of the Dodgers, 150 million.
And I'll say this.
I don't think it would matter, is what I'm saying.
For the Dodgers, like, Freddie Freeman has been worth the, because you can do, like, the Yankees have made good investments in the past. They've made terrible investments in the past. They've been able to buy their way out of it. The Mets have made horrific investments in the past. Hey, I'll give the Dodgers credit. Shohei Ohtani, worth every penny. Freddie Freeman, absolutely worth every penny for that baseball team. I mean, they're worth it. And they've shown they won the World Series last year, and they look to be a favorite to win the World Series this year as long as everybody stays healthy. And, you know, you can afford one guy, and you can afford about one and a half of what you would get. And even the one guy has to take a big shave. And what I hate about it, it just turns into the same sad-ass conversation all the time. It's always that thing. When you play a team like the Dodgers, it just turns into the haves and the have-nots. So here we are. So that sucks. That's the terrible part of this. And I don't. When I look at the season, I said this to you guys yesterday, it's not about where we stack up. It really isn't. I can maybe make the argument about the division. But when it comes to the rest of the league, it's not where we stack up against the Dodgers. It's not where we stack up against the Mets or the Yankees or anything. It's not that. It's where we stack up against ourselves, keeping our heads above water. If these guys can develop, if the starting pitching can show anything other than Jekyll and Hyde throughout the entire season. Like that's the fight. The fight is against our own future and whether or not it's bright or dimming as the games go on. That's what the argument is. It is not against these other teams. It is not against the Philadelphia Phillies. It's not against them, man. It's a little bit, I don't want to compare us to the White Sox because that's an insult to professional baseball and it's an insult to the Guardians. I would compare them to the Tigers and Twins and Royals.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what... That's the comparison.
So I want to know, anybody that was there last night, they feel like they at least got their money's worth? Or the game before? They at least feel like they got their money's worth based on the conversation we had yesterday?
And again, replay... It's Groundhog Day. Just replay the tape from yesterday. I said, they put on a good show. You got to see a good show. People booing. But other than that, you got to see a good show.
So what? They were booing what this time? Because I know there were debates about the people that were cheering... The game before,
well, Bobby got touched up again.
The best player in Major League Baseball.
Bobby got, well, I mean, but does that not start a conversation with everybody? You got to see Max Muncy hit a home run. You brought him up. He's a world champion two times over, right? Mm-hmm. Shohei Ohtani, the star of this generation, I would say, the biggest international star that Major League Baseball has. In both here and there. I mean, he's one of the most recognizable players in professional sports.
He hit another home run today. He might go down in history as the best baseball player in the history of the sport,
Hit a home run. Maybe he's hit a home run over the last two games. If you went to both games, which I actually know somebody who has, they're a Dodgers fan, oddly enough, but they went to these first two games of this series, and they've seen Shohei Ohtani hit home runs in both games of the series. You tell me that's not worth money? That's your money's worth right there. So they did exactly what I said yesterday. They put on a good show. If you are expecting victory, they usually win more than they lose, so that's good. They are good at fan interaction during the game. They're good at fan experience during the game. I think they do, when they have to let people down when it comes to weather and things like that, they make up for it. They really do their damnedest to make up for it with the fan experience and with fan engagement, all the other stuff that we say. And they put on a good show.
So what was going on yesterday? They were beefing in the stands?
So someone called Jake. I got to listen to a lot of Jake Volnick last night because, ladies and gentlemen, I have entered Owen's world. As Owen and I have watched you, and we're all in different stages of our lives, and Owen is like the first one in it, and then Owen's like, okay, here comes Ken, and then I'm eventually going to go, here comes Lima. So last night, I'm in Menor. I didn't leave Menor till... I got out of the drive-thru at about 9:17, 9:18, somewhere in there.
On a school night,
long yeah.
Long time in a drive-thru.
Well, you know, we got held back. Don't want to say what it is. You know, sponsors.
Text me, I'll tell you.
It was not the fine people at Mr. Hero. That was prop service, and you can eat free Mr. Hero today, coming up at 7:45 during 2 Second Trivia. It was not the fine people at Mr. Hero there. Would have stopped there. I'm on my way home, listened to a lot of Jake, and we had a caller. The one caller called in, and Axe was like, what's he saying? I don't know, buddy. This is a quintessential night call. I like this call. And he was talking about how people were cheering the Dodgers, then booing what was going on. Then there was another caller who said that I guess there were some ruffians in the stands who were wearing Dodgers stuff trying to start something over there in this game. Here, is this the call? This is the call last night on Jake Volnick's show.
Carter's in Cleveland. What's going on, Carter?
Just got out of the game, driving home now. All I got to say is, man, there are an insane amount of Dodgers fans. Like, I don't know where these guys are coming from. Like, they just appear, and they're kind of unbearable to be around. Like, everyone's trying to fight. It's just the vibes are kind of off.
Physically fight? Like, are there word brawling?
Yes. I'm walking out of the stadium, and there's, like, at least four groups of people trying to fight over a pretty large loss. Like, I don't know where these guys are coming from. They just appear.
Lima said it. This is the time right now over the last weekend where we are trying to talk ourselves into it being warmer than what it is because there was some sun. It is still far too cold to be out there fighting. And you are a National League team, by the way. Let's not act like this is like a heated, like I can understand, I don't condone fighting, but I can understand some pushing and shoving in game five of the ALCS. I told you guys about that, where I basically almost walked into about four different fights after game five.
With the Yankees last year.
And that's the Yankees. And that's for big stakes. And people are upset because they're wheeling out that great big stage. Oh, it was just a horror show. This is the Dodgers. Who's shoving?
On a Tuesday night.
Now, I got to admit, if I'm a Guardians fan and I hear Dodgers fans puffing their chest, I'm probably going to think, I mean, Los Angeles is a far away away. I'm probably going to think that some of these people are front runners. And then there is a have and have not type of thing. It becomes very Patrick Swayze and the Outsiders very quickly. Because we can't afford those players.
Well, our whole life, at least my whole life, it was the order of operations when it came to hating other teams because of their national fan base. It was always Yankees, Cowboys. I seemed like every time the Lakers came here, the Kobe Bryant love was all over the place. Now, I liked Kobe, so I didn't necessarily hate them as much as maybe most Clevelanders. But the Dodgers didn't really... I don't remember the Dodgers...
Well, they didn't come here then.
Yeah.
No, I never had a thing against the Dodgers.
But I didn't even hear Owen like fans say, like they did, oh, I have my National League team, the Cubs.
Well, yeah.
It was never the Dodgers. I don't remember the Dodgers. So
I don't personally know a ton of... I'm a Dodgers fan that lives in the local area.
Where did these Dodgers fans come from? Is it right? Like
I know Ken, one Dodger fan.
Well, what Ken is alluding to, did they come out of the woodwork? Did they jump on a bandwagon because they have this insane payroll?
I think some of it might be front runners. Some of it might be people who maybe jumped off our bandwagon because it's like, well, I'm just going to support a team that can win. Like I brought this up to you. Like if you're a Guardians fan, do you have like a top four team and two markets team? Like, you can't say you're a Yankee fan if you're a Guardians fan. We've done that to death. But can you go, hey, you know what? I like the Mets because they spend a lot of money and they actually have a look at it. I like the Dodgers because they spend a lot of money and they have a look at it.
Here's what I don't understand about that.
Can you say that?
We've won more games than just about anybody in the American League over the past decade.
Correct.
So the playoffs are like 4 weeks long. So you have a lot of good, feel-good vibes throughout every regular season for the Guardians. And that is interminable. It's so long.
Yes, that's true.
That I don't understand why you would drop the Guardians. Like, yeah, in the playoffs, they haven't won the World Series. Okay, but the baseball playoffs are so quick that I think you have enough joy over the course of 5 months that you don't need to give up your fandom of the Guardians just
you don't
because
have
they
to.
Don't win the World Series.
But there are plenty of people who might. But so you don't even find it understandable. They're like, because people are like, oh, I like the Guardians, but I also have a National League team. People like to say we used to do back in the day.
No, that's fine. I don't remember that ever being the Dodgers in this area.
No. Well, and it wouldn't be the let's show up as Dodgers fans if the Guardians are your team and then you also like.
But man, I remember I told you guys, man. Well, and again, Ohtani has a major league fan base. I mean, I think there were plenty of people who were Angels fans, quote unquote. Yeah. Like, I think he has a following quite like Odell had when he was here, like the Shador fans.
I think Mookie has that too. I think people that were Boston fans probably.
That's a great point.
Like the Dodgers because Mookie's there.
I bet that's a hell of a point right there. Yeah. So I think you're dealing with a little bit of that. Dan Wetzel going to join us at 8 o'clock. We got major changes of brewing in college football. I think that Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, is saying what Tony Petitti is thinking. He's just the one who's willing to say it out loud. That coming up at 8 o'clock. Got a nice win yesterday over the LA Dodgers. Needed it badly. Of course, you need every win. It's Major League Baseball, for crying out loud. And to talk about it, we welcome in Al Pawlowski. Not just that great win, but also the future of Lane Thomas with this organization, when we could see Chase DeLauder, when we could see a couple of other guys, when we could see David Fry coming back and Shane Bieber coming back and hopefully adding to all this. Again, Al Pawlowski joining us from Guardians TV, at Al Pawlowski on X, formerly Twitter. Al, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, what's happening, Ken? Good to talk to you guys once again. Let's have a good baseball season. Here we go.
Yeah, it's tough. I went through the gamut yesterday. I want to start with something big picture with you here, and Lima's going to roll his eyes a little bit, but what the hell. So I talked about Jose Ramirez, and because I got upset because there were people making the comparison over the first two games of the Dodgers series going, you know, this is why. I'm going, guys, we'll never be able to afford Shohei Ohtani or any of these other guys here. It's not a comparison. I'm not making the comparison. They can only do with what they have. And I do sincerely believe the Guardians have done as well as they possibly could with what they can do. And boy, that just turned into a mess with everybody involved here. Because, you know, with the constraints that have been put on this baseball team here over the last year, yeah, you had to shed some salary. They're doing the best they can. I know they're trying their best to keep their head above water, and I might just have to accept that for this year, considering where things are right now and that we're getting ready for another conversation about a CBA with the players' union.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like how many organizations can afford what the Dodgers can do? Well, yeah, two, maybe three. You've got the Dodgers, the Yankees, who are on similar footing when it comes to revenues, and then, you know, perhaps a Boston. You know, but the Red Sox can't even do what the Dodgers can do. Heck, they traded Mookie Betts to the Dodgers when you think back to that. And the Dodgers as well, they've got five number three hitters. I was talking about this yesterday with Chris Jimenez. Think about that. Look at the top five in their batting order. All those five hitters are number three hitters on any other team in Major League Baseball. Otani, Betts, Freeman, who actually does hit number three for them, Teoscar Hernandez, Will Smith. Those are all three hitters. Who has five three hitters in their lineup? It's an embarrassment of riches. I was talking with some guys on the Dodgers coaching staff before the game the other day, and, you know, they know it too. I mean, they're happy they have that advantage. This I will say, and it's a great point that was made to me too by one of them. They said, but you know what? Look at our pitching. We've got a lot of veteran guys, but also a lot of guys that are hurt. You know, Clayton Kershaw made a nice appearance yesterday for them, but he's still trying to work his way back. Where, you know, he said, again, great point. Look over at Cleveland. And you guys got a lot of young pitchers that are available when needed that don't have a lot of miles on them. And when your guys do go down, you've got somebody else coming up. He said, your pitching situation in many ways is about the best in baseball. And that's true. So while, yeah, you don't have $500 million to spend on player payroll, you still have money that you can spend on player development, which Cleveland does. They spend a lot more than a lot of organizations do. And they make sure that the pitching pipeline continues. And pitching in the game of baseball, no matter the level, is what is going to keep you in ball games, and that's why Cleveland's been so competitive for the last 12 years.
You know, Al, as I look at the profile of their team right now, it's something that, you know, is kind of perplexed, I think, a lot of fans here. They're minus 17 in run differential. You know, on paper, they're not doing a lot of things that they were able to do last year. They don't seem to be as good of a team last year. They also have not been whole, and we'll see what happens with Lane Thomas. But with all that said, they are five games above 500. To me, they seem like they can play with just about anybody. So what would you say is this team's identity right now, a third of the way through the season?
Yeah, it's a great question, Anthony. And I would say, you know, pitching as it has been, starting pitching, once again, you're seeing some depth there. You still don't have Shane Bieber back. You're still waiting on Means, who they signed in the offseason, which you may not see until the end of the year. You know, Ciccone had to be skipped this past week, but he might be back this weekend. There's always somebody that can step up. As you said, play with anybody. Keep you in the game. Kobe Allard did that yesterday for four innings as a starting pitcher. He kept you in the game. Then the bullpen came in and did what the bullpen typically does. Occasionally there's an outing where the bullpen, you look at him and you go, hey, this isn't a typical Cleveland outing. But that bullpen for the Guardians has kept them in games. Last year they rode that basically to the postseason. So this is a team that pitches. It's a team that most of the time plays pretty good defense. You know, the one area that is lacking is the bottom half of that lineup. There's just inconsistency there. Sometimes guys are hitting, sometimes there's not. And that's the big difference right now. That's why the run differential is a negative, even though they're five games over 500. You know, they can't necessarily, if another team is hitting or if your pitching isn't on that day, they don't necessarily have the offense right now that can hit with them and hit you back into a game. However, because the pitching is pretty good, because the bullpen is so strong, if they're only down by a run or two, you know, sure, you can get that in the last four or five innings. Problem is, if you're down 4-0, 5-0, you know, 6-2. It gets later in the game. That's where it's tough for this team to come back.
Al Pulaski joining us, Guardians TV. So Stephen Vogt said that Stephen Kwan was held out as a precaution. He says he expects to see him back on Friday. How easy do you take it on a guy like Stephen? Do you just kind of ask him every day, even on a day off, just to make sure? Because you're in one of the driver's seats of the wild card. It's only the end of May. Maybe it's a little bit early, but boy, you want to make sure that your head's nicely above water here. You don't want to let a season get away from you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's tough to temper that because you're right. And when you look at Cleveland's lineup, they've got two consistent hitters that you can count on every single day.
that are going to put together exceptional at bats and probably get a hit. That's Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez. Now, you've got some other guys that are bubbling under, but they're not at that level of those two guys right now. Stephen Kwan is a guy that, if it depends on the injury. So if it's just, okay, my wrist was sore, you know, they're going to take, obviously, a look at it image-wise. If everything looks like it's in order, then he's probably playing tomorrow night. If it looks a little different, or if Stephen's like, yeah, it still doesn't feel right, then you're going to have to hold him out because, as you said, you can't lose this guy for an extended period of time. That's going to be tougher to replace for Cleveland than, let's say, believe it or not, than a pitcher, because Cleveland's got so much good young pitching. So you've got to be careful with the guy. And hopefully he's ready to go tomorrow night against the Angels.
Al Pulaski, join us right now on the hotline. So what would you say right now with the lineup the way it is, constantly in flux? Obviously, we're talking about Nolan Jones, and he was catching a lot of heat, and then he just had a terrific game. Do you see any stabilizing of the lineup, or do you think this is going to be something we're going to be kind of checking in on and tinkering with throughout the entire year?
You know, right now it seems like the latter than the former, because that's what's been going on for a couple of months. And again, I'm looking for that consistency out of some of these other guys. I'm seeing player steps take steps with that. I mean, what Daniel Schneeman has done this year, you know, we've seen him take steps toward becoming a consistent hitter. There was a month or so in there that where he was absolutely scorching the ball. He hit a scorcher Tuesday night when he hit that 3-run homer. So I think he's one of the guys that could be a stabilizer. I think Gabe Arias is another guy that is taking steps toward that, becoming a stabilizer. Bo Naylor has put together a few better bats than last year. You can see his improvement. So there's some signs, but as far as saying, okay, here's our basically 1 through 8 or 1 through 9, you know, maybe a platoon situation in there, that they're not there yet, to be fair. You know, I like Manzardo's power. He's going to be a guy that's in there all the time. However, you know, they like to see him get the average up a little bit more, but he's driving the ball out of the park. So that's a nice feature to have for your number four hitter, obviously. But I think it's going to be a situation where there's going to be some flux in this lineup still for a while because of that inconsistency in the bottom half and nobody, you know, outside of Kwan and Ramirez, and now maybe Angel Martinez. I think we're certainly going to see him in the lineup every day the way he's going. You haven't had that solid group of guys that have demanded with their play everyday playing time.
Jose Ramirez just continues to dazzle. The hit streak now up to 21 consecutive games. Al, I'm sure at this point you're out of superlatives to describe him, but how much does something like a hit streak, some guy who's done basically everything short of winning a World Series, do you think it matters to somebody like Jose? And does he just continue to defy, you know, everything?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Does he defy everything? I think he does in so many ways. I mean, you look at his size. He's not a huge guy. He's well put together, but think of what he is as a physical specimen. You see these guys, you think of great hitters. I mean, look at Aaron Judge. The guy could be playing in the NBA right now with his ability. You look at somebody like, you know, Freddie Freeman over in Los Angeles, or you look at Shohei Ohtani. These are all big guys. Jose Ramirez is not a big guy, and he's probably the most consistent hitter in baseball as far as an all-around hitter goes. So what does that mean? Well, he hits for average. He hits for power. He drives in runs. He hits line drives. I mean, a lot of his home runs are line drives, and he does it from both sides of the plate. That's pretty rare, too. You get a switch hitter, generally they favor one side. Generally it's the left. If you look at his splits, he's a pretty dangerous right-handed hitter as he is left-handed, and he's got, I think, slightly more power from the right side than he does the left, too, which is impressive. As far as the hit streak goes, I mean, yeah, I think it means a lot to him. You know, he's not going to come out and say that. He's a team guy. He says the right things. But, you know, as well as he has hit the ball in his career, in a lot of places outside of Cleveland, he is still drastically underrated as a baseball player. This now, if he keeps this role and really puts him on the map and really shows what a consistent hitter Jose Ramirez is. And right now, I've seen him hit the ball hard his entire career. He is hitting the ball as well as he has ever hit it right now, which is saying a lot because he's had a great career. But right now, I think he's the most dangerous he's ever been.
Al Pulaski joining us here on the show. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So what are we doing with Lane Thomas if we have to IL him for 2 weeks, 15 days, I should say? Who gets called up?
Great question again. I think, you know, You've got to obviously give a look at Chase DeLauder. I think they would still like to see him, you know, have at least a couple, 3 weeks, you know, where he's healthy. That's the only reason he's not playing in the majors right now is his health. He's already there hitter-wise. He's already proven everything there is to prove in the minors. He's not really learning anything in the minors anymore, but you've got to stay healthy. And that is the one thing that poor Chase hasn't been able to do. So hopefully he's got a couple of weeks, stays healthy. You know, he could get the call. C.J. Kapus has been absolutely raking at Triple-A. 23 years old. You know, he's beyond his years. He's ahead of schedule. Do you bring up a guy like that? That's a great question. Primarily a first baseman, but could play the outfield. He's certainly a guy that's very intriguing. And then you take a look at Jonathan Rodriguez, who was on the team to start the year. He's had a very good season in Triple-A, too. So I think those are your three options. If Lane Thomas does have to go on the IL, Rodriguez is the righty among the group, so there's a very good possibility, since he's already been here, if it is Thomas to the IL, that's the guy that you would see.
Al Pulaski here with us on the show. Should I take anything into it, or is it just maybe I'm thinking a little bit too deeply into it? Because I know that they've kind of switched around Jonathan Rodriguez out in left field instead of right down in the minors. Does that read anything of what they may think of him with the big league club and why we might not see him for Lane Thomas?
I think they just want to increase his versatility. I mean, like, you know, that's obviously I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. That's huge for Cleveland.
Yeah.
Having guys that can play multiple positions. So the other thing is, too, it's like, okay, if they bring him up and they need to give Kwan an off day, or if something happens like it did yesterday, he's feeling some soreness in his wrist, can we play him in left, too, and not just have him be a right fielder or just a center fielder? So I think that's what's going on with Rodriguez.
All right, Al, we got the news about Shane Bieber making that first rehab start Saturday. What kind of expectations should the average fan have about Shane Bieber?
So another great question, and that's, you know, one that a lot of the people can't wait to see him back, and I don't blame them. I think once he gets back, he's going to look an awful lot like the old Shane Bieber, which is fantastic. However, it's still a process, and I hate that word because I know so many people hate it, you know, process. But it is, especially when you're dealing with an injury. You can't rush him back. So he's going to get multiple rehab starts. Hopefully there's no setbacks. Occasionally there are, so that still could crop up. But let's say there's no setbacks. You're still probably not going to see him at the major league level for at least a month or so, because he's going to have to make 4 to 5, maybe 6 rehab starts. You're going to have to ramp him up. So as long as everything goes well, and by well I mean stays healthy, I wouldn't look too much at the results, because he's going to work on things. It's going to be a spring training for him. A lot of veteran pitchers, you know, in spring training, you look at their numbers, you're like, what is this guy throwing? Well, he's working on something, and maybe the hitter knows that a fastball's coming, and, you know, they blitz him, but it's not going to happen in the regular season. So you're going to see more of that from Shane Bieber. He's going to get ready. He's going to get ramped up. As long as there are no setbacks, I think you could look forward to seeing him in about a month, some point in July. And, of course, when he comes back, I fully expect him, as everybody does, to be that Shane Bieber he was before he had the surgery.
Al Pulaski on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Al, thank you very much for the time.
Fellas, you got it. Anytime. Have a good one.
All right, we're going to get to the NBA playoffs here in a second. It's Baskin and Phelps. He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. We're just talking a little bit more about the Guardians. They're in the series with the Dodgers now, what they were able to do against Detroit over the weekend, coming off of a rough stretch there against Cincinnati, a little bit of a rough stretch with Minnesota over the week before. Yeah, how about those midges yesterday, too? I was going to ask you about that. I didn't bring it up in our call, but they're just crazy insane, man.
Yeah, they show up every year, Andy.
Yeah, but they always seem to show up now and then during the playoffs, right? If you get a warm day during the playoffs, they miraculously return.
Nothing worse than those things flying up your nose.
Do you get a ton of midges in your neck of the woods?
No.
I don't either.
We're not by the lake.
No, I know. It seems like it's more of a west side thing, though, I'll be honest with you. I think the midges like the west side more than they like the east side.
Well, you know, there's a big preference to people in Northeast Ohio. Are you going to go east side? Are you going to go west side? Are you going to go south?
I know. It's
midges
almost like,
have apparently picked west.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's almost like if you don't like snow, then you live on the west side, but you have to like midges. If you can enjoy snow and don't want midges, you live on the east side.
I think it depends on the east side. I've got family in Willowick,
yeah,
and the midges over there are just as bad to where I am on,
so much
on the west
for your
side.
Theory,
yeah.
Where,
I think it's just proximity because like they literally live like
depends
right on
where
the lake.
On the east side though. That's,
yeah, they're like just, right on the lake. So I think it's a proximity you? Thing.
Yeah.
Just move to Akron.
No midges
we
in Akron?
We don't have midges. We're all good.
There's no surf in Cleveland and there's
good.
No midges in
it's all
Akron.
Good.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Just move to Akron.
Where do you think the line is for the midges? Is there a line?
I would say probably about 1 to 2 miles inland from the lake. Because I'm about a mile inland from the lake where I live, and they are bad. They are swarming everywhere.
The only time I remember seeing midges when I was a kid is when we would go to Cedar Point. Like, they were all over the place.
You know, there's a lake there.
I know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Is that yep. Erie? Is that the name of it? Are we going to rename it?
Same lake.
I just want to make sure. I'm just saying.
Lake Cedar.
It seems to me, though, that the midges like the west side more than they do the east side. That's just me. Downtown and west side, that's where they like. Demos, Shakerites. Hey, Demos, how are the midges in Shaker?
The midges are fairly prevalent in Shaker, and they're, you know, I don't, when I let my dog out, I have to do it quickly or else they just kind of come right in. So,
and maybe because of Shaker Lakes, that's why.
Could be. I mean, look, as soon as it stopped raining last week, you know, that's when they came out. So yeah. It has to be some function of rain and a little warmth, you know, that they all hatched.
They're like freaks. They're like the freaks.
It's not as bad as it's been, though, in a few years, though. I don't remember it being this bad. Now, the game yesterday,
yes.
Walking in and out, there were a ton of midges. But fortunately, I was sitting up high and watching the game, and it didn't bug me at all.
That's because they're scared of heights. I don't know if you know that or not. Midges are scared of heights, yes.
Maybe. So
not Shaker heights, but just heights.
They're ground bugs.
Is that what
you're saying?
The Guardians, all right. So Ohtani hits the first pitch out of there. I think between Bybee and Williams, I think they've had 5 first pitch home runs this year.
Demos, I think that's right around the exact number. I think you're right.
Is that? I mean, we've got to be leading the majors in that category because that's weird.
So
you know, I'm talking first pitch, not first batter, first pitch. Because I saw Bybee do it once already this year. So
Bybee did it in back to back starts.
Yeah, that's right. That's mm-hmm. right. So now here's my take on the Guardians. I'm not hitting the panic button yet because I just don't feel like things have come together. I don't think the back end of the lineup has. I was, you know, seeing Bo moved up to second. You know, I'm like, at least I don't think Tito would have ever done anything like that.
No
so
way.
Vogt is get, you know, gets, you know, credit in my book for at least mixing it up like that. And that was an odd lineup yesterday. Arias, Martinez, they seem okay. You know, Jones and Big Christmas. I don't know what we're going to do with Big Christmas. I mean, you know, he's flailing out there.
He's not getting a lot of at-bats, though, Demos. You know?
I get it. And I'm saying you want to go up and down between Columbus and here to try to get me. You know, Rocchio's doing that right now, right? He's trying to get in maybe some rhythm down in Columbus.
Trying.
But, look, there's a lot of stuff going on that things haven't settled down yet.
And Arias' batting average is dropping.
Yeah, whatever happened last year, whatever magic of change that Vogt brought in, that the team kind of, you know, responded to, and you know, look, baseball does involve a little bit of luck here and there, but things this year are not playing out with that same level of, you know, of whatever magic dust Vogt sprinkled on the team last year. So I'm hoping that it's just a matter of that we still have to settle down. We haven't hit our rhythm yet. We haven't had like a really great long streak or anything like that. When's Bieber coming back even, right? I mean, you know, when that happens.
Early July is the word.
Yeah. So if we get lucky and he returns to, you know, the some level that he was there, I think we'll be okay because we're hanging in there. We're not that far out of first.
No, you're right. And it could have been a devastating weekend against Detroit, but they were able to hang. And what could have been really bad turned out to be something really good. So, or almost as good as you can get, other than losing that last game. Kevin's at Cuyahoga Falls. Hi, Kev.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Well, good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Beautiful day here in Northern Ohio. Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I missed something, but we had a baseball team that was on the edge of maybe making the World Series last year. And then we got rid of our, if not best hitter, let's say at least our second best hitter. Mm-hmm. And then we signed an aged veteran who, forget the back nine, he's walking down the 18th fairway at this point. And then you had a chance to bring in a guy like, oh, I don't know, Jorge Polanco, who only signed for like $7 million and could have filled in the gaps of our middle infield that we got rid of as well. And we didn't do any of that. So instead, we got rid of our second best hitter, brought in an aged veteran, and didn't add anything else to the hitting. And we're hoping some young guys maybe catch lightning in a bottle in our infield and maybe can actually get a hit and bat something over, I don't know, what, 220 maybe? I mean, am I missing anything in that picture of what we did in the offseason?
Let me hit rewind. No.
The only thing.
Yeah.
I do not understand the Naylor trade.
Right.
How about if we give Slade Ciccone five more starts, Andy?
Yeah.
And Kevin, maybe they saw something and specifically pinpointed him. I was not a proponent of trading Naylor, obviously. I don't understand it to this day. The only thing I'll point out, Josh has cooled off some. Carlos has picked up some. Carlos notoriously has slow starts. They're about 50 points apart in batting average, but same number of home runs, and Naylor has a few more runs batted in. Overall, I agree with you, Kev. Let's just see what Slade Ciccone can do. Maybe they really wanted him and think he's going to be something. I don't understand the Naylor trade because it has to be they think Slade's going to be something really special.
Or they believe this competitive balance round B draft pick they're going to get is going to be fantastic.
They're going to nail it, yeah.
Well, I hope you're right, Jeff. I really do. And at 55 years of age, I'm blessed with a full head of hair. But, man, this team is going to pull all of it out.
Oh, why do you do that to him? That makes him jealous. He gets really, really nice. Mad. Kevin, now I got to deal with him for the rest of the day.
The one thing that's interesting about this, though, to me, if they'd have traded Naylor and flat out said, we want to clear at-bats an opportunity for Kyle Manzardo to just be our regular first baseman. We think we have one. I would have understood it. But when they went out and signed Carlos, it's like, well, now wait a minute. He's going to be getting in the way of Manzardo perhaps being your everyday first baseman. Although Manzardo's had a lot of at-bats, what's going to happen now, though, when David Fry comes back?
Isn't there a shot that he just didn't fit the clubhouse? I mean, I know when your brother's you don't want to do that. But
maybe they thought it would be better for his brother if they weren't together. I don't know. What I do know is this. You traded a 27-year-old guy and you brought in a 39-year-old guy. And you could have kept Josh for one more year and lost him in free agency, okay, or traded him at the trade deadline. And instead, you signed Carlos for more money for just one year.
Well,
exactly.
They've got a glut of first basemen. There you go. You feel better, Kevin? Thank you.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it makes me crazy, but I'm sure I'm with everybody. We all wish him the best, but it's just hard to understand the moves they do. But go Guardians. Let's hope they win.
Thanks.
The weird thing is you had Naylor for a year for less money than you signed Santana for a year. And Naylor has clearly been a better hitter in recent years than Carlos Santana. They must, and this could be great because our organization is great at this. They might really think that Slade Ciccone is going to be really good. And Andy,
he's been pretty good so far. Josh, a free agent at the end of the year.
Well, too. Yeah, but so is Carlos.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
they had Naylor for another year.
Of not working. Like, fans loved him. Crushed the ball. I mean, there were just a lot of things to like about him.
Body that Babe Ruth would love.
Ah, well, all right. Or Baby Ruth. Same thing. What's the difference? 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. I just want to spend a minute, and we'll come back to it here in a couple seconds. Your thoughts on the NBA, where we are in the playoffs, just really quick.
I think it's bizarre how we're seeing these incredible leads get built up in the playoffs. It's weird to me. And, we saw the same type of deal with Indiana that we saw with against the Knicks, that we saw against the Cavs.
Exactly.
They won the first two games in Cleveland. They won the first two games in New York. Then they go home and they lose. And that's the one series where it's not the incredible swing so far. We saw it against the Cavs where You know, like Indiana got blown out, and then they beat the Cavs in five. Well, how do you get blown out by a team that you beat four times in five games? And I don't think this is the case. I want to touch on this later, but it's just made me think, are you just phoning in a game or two in the playoffs? Because, okay, we're going to be here, blah, 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 blah. We won game one and two. We can relax in game three, and then we'll come back gangbusters in game four. Makes me think, just play three. Go all out for three games, and we're not playing baseball.
So you're saying play a best of five?
No, I was saying you could play three, and I hate the idea.
There's no way that would ever happen.
Exactly.
No way.
I mean, it's a television product. Yeah. I get that. But to me, it's just, well, then how are these teams getting blown out? I mean, go back to the 2016 NBA Finals,
yep,
where there were so many blowouts. Why are we – clearly there's a lack of motivation in some of these games. And, well – you're going to be more motivated
into a
better product.
I don't see it that way, though.
Lost by 42 points in Minnesota in game three.
Yeah, but it's like second half
and they're
loss
up 3
of motivation.
To 1. What the hey happened?
I don't think any of these games start with a team thinking, oh, well, we're just going to give up in the second half. I don't see that at all. I don't know how you can. When you get into a playoff situation like that, you've got to figure out, you know, you're going to play hard. No one's walking into a game going, oh, we're going to get blown out tonight, or we're going to do this one way or another.
Yeah, I know, but I think the number of blowouts it's been ridiculous, and I think it's terrible for the NBA. It's a terrible look.
All right, we'll come back to that.
For instance, game three, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, I tuned in, and it was already a 20-point game. I paid no attention.
Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 11 o'clock, so she'll be with us in less than 5 minutes. We'll talk to her next. Baskin and Phelps, 90. You look at where the Guardians are right now, Jeff, and, you know, I talk about weathering the storm. They weathered the storm last week with a great series against Detroit. That was great.
Yeah, that really was.
I'm not a big fan of some of Detroit's uniforms right now, but that's another story for another day.
Those were interesting with the Detroit across the hat, dark blue.
I saw the other Boston one, too. I was like, oh, what's this all about? But, you know, when you look at what they were able to do, I love the fact that they were kind of, if it was like one of those measuring bubbles, you know what I'm talking about? And it looked like it was just about to go to one side. The Detroit series.
On a level?
On a level, yeah. To be able to level it back and to get it back towards the middle, I thought was interesting what they were able to do against Detroit, because I'll be honest, I was worried. It's not the thought of being out of it, you know. It was the thought of thinking that this team could be 10 games out in the middle of May if they would have taken a dive against Detroit. That was what was scaring me. My fear was the negative outcome.
You were thinking the worst.
I was thinking the worst, especially because they lost five straight games. You're like, oh, man, this is not good. And they got Detroit coming up here, and this thing could just really rip away from them really quick. Now we'll see if it's a slow burn, especially with two very, very tough opponents here, too, where you got the Dodgers and then you got the Angels coming in over the weekend. So we're going to see the L.A. delight here at the ballpark.
I just think it's again. I don't want to go little engine. They could, because our team has some real attributes. But when you see a team like the Dodgers come to town, and you just see, you know, a wealth of talent and guys making unbelievable amounts of money. Andy, the one thing about the Dodgers that, if you want to say, and you made this comparison earlier, the teams of the 90s here. So position player dominated, and the pitching might have been a little shaky, and that might be the situation with the Dodgers.
There's an intimidation factor, too. So we got a guy that totally understands that, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline right now, Omar Vizquel. Hello, Omar. How are you?
Hi-o.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
We are doing great. We were just talking a little bit about the Dodgers being here in town, and I said to Jeff before the show, like, when you guys would walk into a ballpark, you knew the Indians were there, and teams on the other side knew what they were about to face. I kind of felt that way last night watching the Guardians play the Dodgers. I'm like, just looking at the Dodgers, and I'm like, man, when Shohei Ohtani can start the game with a home run and the Guardians are going to fall back by four runs, it's almost like trying to, you know, run into a brick wall and see if you can get through it. I mean, you guys had that aura around you when you guys would play other teams. Like, we knew you guys were in the house when you would go somewhere else. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, especially when, you know, the Dodgers is a team that got the World Series last year. And looking at the team, it looked like they improved their team. They even talk about that they have a better team than last year, even though they're not playing that way right now. But, you know, you take a look at this lineup, man, and it's just really intimidating. And like you said, these guys walk with certain ego. You know, the Dodgers blue, everybody knows the kind of team they have. Otani being the biggest star that they have in their team. But obviously, they're a team that recognize and they have this reputation of being one of the best teams in baseball. And then you take a look at the Guardians right now. They have some young guys in there. They're trying to feel comfortable in the big league. They're trying to earn the spot, you know, guys with 2 or 3 years in the big league, trying to stay consistent. And obviously, it is a big difference.
Omar, when you guys were destroying teams and, you know, you had the powerful lineup and pitching, okay, you kept your fingers crossed that it would work and you get into the bullpen and that would take care of things. Was it difficult for you guys to get up for games because you were so good, or was that just absolutely taken for granted and you guys came to play? I would think, being as talented as your teams were, that sometimes you might take that for granted.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we as a team, we take it for granted. We didn't know how good we were sometimes. We were just out there having fun, doing our job. But, you know, at the same time, it was business. We knew that we had the opportunity to win every game. And when you walk in there with that kind of confidence, it's just it's contagious. A team feels like they're going to win. And I think there's something that you feel. You got that feeling that, you know, no matter what, in the ninth inning, we're down by 3 runs, we still have the opportunity to win. Because you have every tool and everything fired at the same time. You got the pitching. You got the bullpen. You have the offense. You can win the ball game with running the bases. There is so many ways that this team can hurt you that it's hard for a younger team to kind of face these kind of guys.
Hey, I was thinking about this too yesterday. I was just watching, you know, the game. I was thinking about Dave Roberts and his time here. And then you played with him here and in San Francisco, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
What do you think of his career and what he's been able to do as a manager?
Well, it's been amazing. I knew Dave always had a great mind. He was a guy that was always analyzing the way how to steal the base, how to get on base, because his job was to get on base for the bigger guys, being a leadoff fast guy. On those times, you know how the game was a little different. Taking a walk was as important as hitting a double. And Dave was one of those guys that always talked to you about different ways to kind of beat your enemy. And when you have that kind of mentality, I know that he was going to be a successful manager. And I think being a great guy, because Dave always was hugging people. He cares about everybody in the team. And I think that's the kind of mentality that you have to have when you're a manager, that you are more like a father figure for these guys, and they really respect him as a person that he is.
Omar Vizquel joining us, and Omar is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Your guy, Brian Rocchio, our guy, Brian Rocchio, down in AAA, wasn't swinging the bat well. Gabe Arias moves over to shortstop. Gabe's had a tough month of May, Omar. If you're Brian Rocchio, and apparently his attitude has been outstanding in AAA, going down to work on some things, how do you approach what you're having to do right now to find your swing? And if you're Arias, how do you try and latch onto that shortstop job and not give it up?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about two guys that I've seen play here for the last couple of years. I was kind of sad seeing Brian Rocchio coming down, because I know how hard it is for him. After having a great playoff last year, I think that he found what it takes to be a major leaguer. Obviously, his start was a little slow. They have to make some changes. But I'm glad to hear that he's having a good attitude in AAA. I think that he realized that in order for him to stick around, he have to produce, he have to be helping the team in a different way. And I think defensively, they're going to miss him out there. He's a guy that covered a lot of ground. I think he's going to cover more ground than Arias. Arias is kind of like a guy like Johnny Peralta. You know, he's always trying to be in the right spot. He moves a little slower than Rocchio. But I think his bat is going to come around. He's a guy that likes to hit the ball the other way. I know he's struggling a little bit right now, and he has to be able to handle the bat a little better. Maybe they put him into a lot of pressure right now, hitting in the top of the lineup sometimes. And that's not easy when you're trying to earn a spot. You know, it's easy to have that it's hard to get that responsibility. But I think he can make the adjustment. Hopefully he can stick around. Arias, maybe the good thing about Arias is that he can play other positions. You can use him in second base. You can maybe use him in first base. Even as an outfielder, I think that he can be there in few games. So, but I think his bat is going to come around.
Omar, I look at the lineup all the time, and they're still trying to figure out how they can find a perfect fit for the number two slot in the lineup right now with Stephen Kwan leading off, and then Ramirez has kind of settled into that number three spot, even though they tried him at number two. Like, when you're trying to hit in between two guys that are hitting, what is there a – I mean, obviously someone can go out there and hit, but the mindset you have to kind of be in between two guys that are hitting 300 and just get out there and do your job, is that the extra pressure – because they're constantly auditioning somebody for that number two spot.
And Omar, you hit second a lot.
Yeah.
On some good teams.
Yeah, I mean, in my times, this was different, you know, because you found a spot in the lineup, and you kind of come the next day to the ballpark and you see your name there again and again and again. But right now, with all these numbers that they got going out, the manager, all these statistics about this guy hit well during the day, or he hit well when he's a lefty on the mound and all this stuff, yeah, there is going to be a lot of changes. So in order for you to stay consistent mentally, it's hard because you are moving from one spot to another. But I'm sure that they have to prepare differently now. Sometime you don't even know if you're going to be in the lineup. They have to tell you ahead of time. It's going to be hard when you are being moved from the top of the order to the bottom of the order. Now you're in the middle. This is just the way that the managers are making line of how teams are preparing their ball team to a strategy against another team. And I think that it's a different preparation mentally that you have to have. And, when you're young, you have a lot of doubt in your mind or how to stay in the big league, how to be able to produce for your team. And I guess it's kind of like it's a double difficulty when you go and try to stay consistent and hitting in the big league and then try to stay in the lineup for that particular day. So it's going to be hard.
Omar Vizquel joining us. Omar, of all the times we've had you here on the show, I don't think I've ever asked you about what might be my favorite game of all time. And you were a key part of it. If you don't mind, let's go back to the 2001 season. And it was at Jacobs Field at the time. Your former team, the Seattle Mariners, in town. And
Oh, my God. I knew you were
going. You know where I'm going.
Yes.
You guys are down 14-2.
I have a different favorite game. I'll bring it up next. Keep going. Yeah.
You're down 14-2 in the bottom of the seventh inning. And you guys score 3 in the 7th, 4 in the 8th, 5 in the 9th, a game-tying 3-run triple by a guy named Omar Vizquel ties the game at 14. What the heck was that game like?
With the bench, because remember, when the Seattle Mariners start going ahead by 8, by 9, by 10 runs, they start taking out guys like Juan Gonzalez, who was hitting 4th that day. I think Robbie Alomar was hitting 3rd, and then they started taking the regular players out to give him a break. I remember guys like Jolbert Cabrera being one of the heroes of that game.
Eddie Taubensy and Russell Brandon came in as subs. Will Cordero as well.
Exactly. So there were like different heroes every night on that lineup, and we were so proud that we not only that we came from behind scoring 12 runs, but doing it with the bench, with guys that were just waiting for the opportunity to play. And you know, I was so happy that they didn't pull me out of that game. I ended up hitting that triple against Sasaki, who was the bullpen guy, and it was one of the most memorable games in my career in Cleveland. That game was amazing. And plus that, my son Nicholas, who was 5 years old at the time, it was the first day that he was being a bad boy. So it was an amazing game, amazing game.
I remember watching that game with my wife, and she's not a huge sports fan. And I'm watching in the seventh. Okay, this is good. Here goes the eighth. And I'm like, this stuff doesn't happen, honey. You're witnessing history. It's considered the biggest comeback of all time. It was fascinating.
It was a great game, yeah. Where is the only game that you're talking about?
All right, August 31st, 2004. You know where I'm going?
I know.
Oh, six hits and a complete just dusting of the Yankees, 22 to nothing.
And it's Jake 22-0, yeah, yeah.
Jake was on fire. I thought Jake pitched it. But I think what was lost in that game, too, was that Jake had a great game on the hill. But you went 6-for-6 in that game, and I held on to the scorecard afterwards. It was the one piece of memorabilia I hung on to for a long time. That 22-0 scrubbing of the Yankees was as sweet as any victory I've ever seen any Cleveland team ever have.
Yeah, that was amazing. And let me correct you a little bit with the numbers. Okay. I went 6-for-7 on the ninth game. Yeah. That obviously that game lasted ninth inning, but I took 7 at bats on my last at bat.
Lord.
I took an at bat against a Mexican pitcher, and I couldn't get a hit on my last at bat. So, you know, I went 6.
You have just destroyed my dream. Now I've been sitting. I knew you had 6 hits in the game. I forgot you had a 7th at bat at that game. I remember the date. Yeah. I remember the game itself, and let you in on an inside scoop. You know how in the media you're never supposed to ask for autographs. Oh, do you know that, right? Everyone knows that when you're in the media.
So no, I remember.
And we've talked about this, how you sat in the row behind me on the plane, and it was the last road trip of the year, and
you broke the cardinal rule and asked Omar to sign your scorecard.
I broke that rule, Omar, because I was like, I don't think he's coming back next year. I think he's going somewhere else. And I handed it.
You did the right thing, man. You did the right thing.
I handed it to you on the plate. I'm like, oh, is there any chance you could sign the scorecard? And you were like, oh, Andy, no problem. And I was just like, thanks for doing that. Meanwhile,
you still have that?
Of course I still have that. Are you kidding? Of course I still have that. Yeah.
You're going to have to sell it to me now.
I'll give it back to you. It'll be better. It's my scorecard, so it's not great handwriting. But Omar, as always, we always appreciate our conversations with you and love keeping in touch with you and finding out what's good. Do you have any baseball stuff going on right now in your life?
Yes. I am in the middle of the baseball summer league here in Venezuela. We're still doing some young clinics for the younger people here around the country. Having a good time here. The weather has been hard. It's been raining a lot lately, but we're still involved in baseball professionally and with kids. So that's what I love, man. My life is in baseball and, doing my thing. So I'm very, very, very excited about that.
Omar, we always love talking to you. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks my Omar. Friend.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.